great to be with you this morning. If you are visiting with us, we do truly want you to know that you are our honored guest, and we love it that you've brought your worship to join with ours as we come before the great God and our King in worship this morning. Over the past few weeks, a number of us have been gathering here on Sunday nights and watching a video series. And I want to tell you about one of the people that is in the video. She's not necessarily there, but Louis talks about her on a regular basis. And you've heard me talk about Krista. Krista was a student at the University of Florida, and she was needing a place to live. She answered an ad from a young lady by the name of Ashley. Ashley was a senior, and she lived and embodied everything that the University of Florida was all about. She was a partier. Krista was a Christian. Krista moved in, and it wasn't very much longer after that that she had visited her first Chris Tomlin concert. And in that concert, Louis Giglio got up, and he talked about God. He talked about seeing God, worshiping with our lives, worshiping God with the very breath that he's given us. She came home, and she was so excited. She couldn't control herself. All she could talk about to her heathen roommate was how powerful God is, how amazing God is, and how she cannot but praise God for everything that he had done in his life. When we live out God in our lives, we develop a living faith, would you not say? And that's what we want to look at this morning. The passage that Nate read to us this morning from Hebrews has been classified, that entire passage, as heroes and home runs of the Old Testament. And what a powerful, powerful depiction of what is being used here, where God is laying out a list of heroes and the power of what they did. And he starts off with three of my favorites. And the power that comes from these first three men that we're going to look at this morning. And I agree, as we go here this morning, I hope that you take a little bit from each one of these heroes. And it becomes a home run in your life. And I pray that you will be enriched by the blessing of the word. Let's pray. Amazing Father God, we are so thankful to be in your presence this morning. We're thankful, Father, that you are our God and that we are your people. We're thankful, God, that you have given us stories to bolster our faith in you. And Father, we ask that these stories would come alive. Would come alive in this sermon, would come alive in our hearts, would come alive in our lives, so that others would see your Son Jesus through us. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The very first example we see Abel worshiped God. We see the power of what is done when obedience is followed by action. And it says in Genesis the 4th chapter and verse 4 that the Lord respected Abel. The passage that we have from Hebrews says that Abel offered a more perfect sacrifice. The worship that he gave back to his God was something that was, it was his life. He had poured his blood, his sweat, and his tears, his very emotion, his very heart that he had shared with the offering that he had created. God blessed Abel with this beautiful, precious lamb. And that lamb would have become an intrinsic part of Abel's life as he woke up in the morning and he rushed out every single morning to find out how that lamb was doing. And as he found out that the lamb was hungry and he fed it. And the lamb was thirsty, and he gave it water. And as the lamb had got a sore, and he took and he healed it and he bandaged it. And that lamb became a very part of Abel's life. And God said, "Give me your very best." And Abel didn't question. He said, "Here it is, Lord. This is my very best." And he took that lamb. And he used it to worship God in a way that God demanded to be worshiped. But we don't just see from Abel the power, but we see our first W, where Abel worshiped God. The very next thing that we see is probably one of my favorite characters in the entire Old Testament, where the scriptures tell us that Enoch walked with God, and he was not. Now, if you go back and you look at the math, it is apparent that it probably was in the year of the flood that Enoch was taken away, based on what was going on. And there's a couple of speculations of what have happened here, but we see that Enoch walked with God. He walked in a way that he could walk and talk with God. And I have to think that it's very possible and very probable that the very same walking that was done here was the wording that was used when it said that Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. There was a relationship that they had one with another. As God came into Enoch's life, every single waking moment they were together, Enoch walked with God. Now, a couple of speculations that we might see here. The first one, we might think, God seeing what is going to happen to his creation. What is going to happen to Enoch's loved ones? What is going to happen to the people that are around him? God just said, "Enoch, you're not going to see it. Come home with me." It was done. I think it's a little bit simpler than that. I think that God was walking with his friend Enoch, and Enoch was walking with his friend God. And they had a relationship so close. But one day they had walked so far from home that God turned to his friend Enoch and said, "You know, we're closer to my house than yours. So why don't you just come with me?" How do you get there from here? How do you get to that spot where you can walk with God and you can talk with God and you can have that relationship? Well, Abel tells us that we have to worship him with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and we have to give him the first. And Enoch tells us that we have to walk with him on a daily basis, and we have to talk with him, and we have to have a relationship with him. But that's not all we learn. We also learn in our story today that Noah worked for God. God came down and he handpicked this man. It said that Noah was a righteous man. And God handpicked him for what he was going to do. And you see a picture of the great preacher Noah standing up on the lumber of gopher wood as he's preaching, "Repent!" Very similar to a preacher that is going to come years later that is going to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near," when John the Baptist comes out and he lays out a plan of salvation that says, "Be baptized, come into a relationship with Jesus Christ." Noah comes up and he says, "Come into a relationship with God. Leave your sins, because God is going to destroy the world." And the one thing that it says in Genesis, the sixth chapter, it says, "Thus Noah did." God said, "Noah, build me an ark." He did it. God said, "Noah, preach." And he did it. Thus Noah did. Well, Lee, you'll say, what does that mean to me? Well, if we take this three acts to create a living faith in our lives, we have to come to the very heart and the very middle of our scripture that we see this morning. But faith, it says, without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Two requirements. First one is very simple. You look around and you see the evidence of everything in this world, and it's obvious to see there is a God. He is, He always has been, and He always will be. The first part of the command that is given by the Hebrew writer here is very simple. In my mind, some people may not be so simple. But I think if you look at the evidence, it is clear there is a God in heaven and He loves His children. But God doesn't stop there. God through the Holy Spirit says there's something else that's required. Believing in me is not enough, because we know that even the demons believe and shudder. But He talks about a reward. For those who diligently seek Him. Are you diligently seeking? What does that look like in your life? Are you worshiping with your first fruits? Are you walking daily with your very best friend? And are you prepared and ready for the work that He has for you to do? I'm impressed by the Jewish faith, even to today. I have a friend of mine, his name is Sam, I will tell you. And Sam is a practicing Jew. When it comes time for Sukkah is, or the celebration of Sukkot, that is the Feast of Booths, or you may know it from your text as the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, what would happen here in modern day is that people would construct a makeshift tent on the outside of their home in which they would eat all of their meals for a period of time for this Feast of Festivals. And it was to commemorate the time of the 40 years where the Israelites wandered in the wilderness. Sam, being one of my customers and knowing that I was a man that believed in the God, the same God that he believed in, invited me to his home on the very first night of Sukkah. He asked me, he said, Lee, do you have a prayer or a passage you would like to share? And I said, yes, I would. And I'm a song leader. What's the great song book? The Book of Psalms. And I said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And I continued on and I quoted one of my favorite passages. Sam and his son sang the song back to me in Hebrew. I went on further. I said, I've got a good one. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. In His hands are the depths of the earth. The mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His, He made it. And His hands formed the dry land. They didn't open a book. They turned and they sang it to me. I thought I got one. I remembered back to one of my favorite psalms, and I thought, this is going to be the one. This is the one that they're not going to know. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will protect your going out and your coming in from this day forth and forevermore. And Sam sang it back to me in Hebrew. Sam had a relationship with his God. He knew 150 psalms, every single word, because he spent time with him. He may have worshiped him a little bit different than we do. He may have worked for him a little bit differently than the way we do. But I believe he walked with him the way that God walked with Enoch. And that brings us back to Krista. Krista said that at that concert, she could not help, for the very first time in her life, to proclaim God to others. Worship is going to do something to you when you open your heart and you allow God to come in. And you say, I am ready, Lord, to worship you the way that you want to be worshiped. Lord, I'm ready to be the one that you want me to be. He is going to lay out a blueprint for you through his Holy Spirit. And he's going to say, walk this way. And we're going to go down a path. And we're going to walk the walk that Jesus says. And then the Holy Spirit is going to come to us and say, here's the work for you to do. The path is laid out by our heroes in the Old Testament. Ashley's heathen roommate, Krista's heathen roommate Ashley. For a couple of months, she called Krista the fruitcake because she couldn't understand why anybody would get all Twitter-pated over an unseen God. But because Krista worshiped and walked a walk with God, he laid out work for her, and Ashley obeyed. January of that year, Ashley obeyed the gospel, and she was baptized into a relationship with Jesus Christ. She went from a life of selfless, selfful worship to a life of selfless dedication. She wrote a letter home to her friends in May of that year, shortly before graduation, excited beyond excitement that her time at school had come to an end. She was going to graduate. She said, it's been one serious ride. And on that ride home, God said, Ashley, we're closer to my house than yours. Why don't you come home with me? Are you walking with God? Are you worshiping the God of all creation and walking in a way that he can give you the work that he has for you to do? Let's pray. Our amazing Father in heaven, We love you, Father, and we thank you for revealing to us your word. We thank you, Father, for your son Jesus and the life that he lived, the perfect life, giving us an example that we can follow. And we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for these heroes of faith. And we pray that we would take this lesson with us today, Father, and that we would truly practice worshiping and walking and working every day. We thank you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for this church family, Father. And we thank you for the mission that you have us on. We pray, Father, that your hand and the hand of your Spirit would guide us in everything that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus came down and it says the Word became flesh. The very creator of the universe said that my creation needs some help. And I have to do it myself. Jesus took on the form of a man, and he lived a life that no one else could live, to go to a death that no one else could die, to be raised to a life that no one else could live, to save a people like no one else could do. Do you believe it? If you're not worshiping and walking and working where the Lord has you, the time is now. The song tells us there is much to do. There is work on every hand. God is calling for reapers because the scriptures tell us the fields are white. Not because of snow like it is out there right now. The fields are white unto harvest. There are people in your lives that need to know about Jesus Christ. Do you know who they are? But they're only going to know about Jesus Christ if you tell them. Do you know there's people that God put in each of our lives specifically for us to teach? You say, Lee, I'm not good at that. Worship, walk, and work. If you're here this morning and you're not walking that walk, even if you just want the prayers of the church to get you back on the path to go where you need to go, we pray, Father, that you would come today. We pray through Jesus Christ that his Holy Spirit would come into your heart and say, this is the day. If you've never named Jesus Christ, we have a baptistry, and one of our shepherds can baptize you right now. And you can start to worship and walk and work the path that God has for you. And we have a song that is going to be sung right now. The song is to encourage you to obey the gospel call. Jesus says, come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Do you need that rest? Have you been to Jesus? Because he stands arms open waiting for you. Won't you come? Won't you come now while we stand and sing?